irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
For the best in morning radio, tune in to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte. Only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Friday, July 25th. We're coming at you at the speed of sound. It's Sam and Charlotte in the morning. And we're all jacked up for the weekend.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. I'm looking
forward.
It's going to be a hot one.
I'm
excited. Did I tell you it was? Oh, I told you it was like 122 degrees the other day. And yesterday I was in Woodland Hills again. It was 115. So it's still pretty bad.
Still, yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see. You know, no rain, lots of dryness and stuff. Just what California needs right now, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And there's no rain that's going to come.
No.
I mean, it's just...
No, it's...
No, clear skies.
No way. If it doesn't come in the winter, it's not coming in the summer.
Yeah.
You know?
I woke up this morning and usually it was about 7. It's usually kind of overcast or the marine layer, but it was bright blue.
Really?
It's like, wow, already.
Yeah, that's pretty hot. If it burns off already, it's pretty hot. Yeah. Well, this is cool. So we have the weekend coming up, and I don't know why I'm excited. I just say, well, I'm going to take my bike to the beach, break it in the first time on the beach, and that should be cool. And go enjoy the ocean breeze and stuff. I just love it, you know.
Yeah.
It's just so relaxing when you go there. Even when there's a lot of people, it's still relaxing.
Yeah, and especially when it's warm, it's so nice down there because of the breeze, like you said. So it'll be nice,
Yeah, for sure. Do you have any plans? Are you going to Comic-Con or anything in San Diego?
No, I'm going up to Oakland for a bridal shower.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So everybody's getting married up there for you, right? You went to a wedding up there too, right?
Well, they're actually getting married in Mexico.
Oh, really?
So they're branching out of Oakland, but... But yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, so it'll be a nice weekend.
Are you flying or driving?
Driving.
Driving.
Yeah.
So you'll have to drive fast.
Yeah. We'll hopefully leave around 1:30.
Oh, today? Like today. Oh, okay. So you'll have some time. I thought you're only going tomorrow, coming back Sunday.
No, leaving today and coming back Sunday night.
Okay, cool.
So yeah, hopefully. Yeah.
Did you get a new dress or anything?
I did, yes.
You did? Wow.
I did. I went shopping for once. But I wanted to talk quickly about, I just put up some bracelets. I've been making jewelry for a while now, and I put them out on Etsy. For once, I'm not wearing them. I've been wearing them for the past month.
Really? Wow. Yeah. I noticed, right? Well, I can't see your hands from here. I got the computer screen.
But... anyone can follow them on Instagram. It's Lottie Rose Jewelry, Lottie Rose Jewelry. And then on Etsy, it's etsy.com/shop/ Lottie Rose Jewelry.
Okay.
And they're really pretty for, I don't know, a guy that wants to buy. That's what it tends to be. It's guys that are buying their girlfriend's jewelry.
Yeah.
So they have no idea what they want. And they know that they'll like these bracelets.
Wow.
They're just everyday bracelets that, beaded bracelets.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. I didn't even realize you were doing that.
Yeah.
Really? So you do it like any free time and stuff when you have some time?
I do a lot of random things.
Really? Wow. Then you should promote all of them.
I know.
So what's Etsy now? I've never heard of it before.
It's I would say it's an eBay, but of jewelry and creative things.
Oh, okay.
So you can sell, anyone can sell anything. You just set up like a shop.
Right.
But a lot of it is, it's a lot of jewelry, and it's creative stuff. It's like handmade stuff.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, very cool. They've got websites for everything these days, right?
They really do.
Yeah.
They really do.
I know. You know, I went on Fiverr, and, you know, you go there. I mean, you know, for individual things, personal things, you don't really go there. But for business, if you need a graphic designer, if you need an animator, if you need a developer... And I always use it, you know, and even if I have to pay him 40, 50 bucks instead of five, it's still worth it sometimes. Because people around the world, man, they can do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And they do it fast, too. You know, you have people in India, and they're cheap and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So, so it works for them, and I love it, you know. It's just there's so much you can find there.
Right. Completely.
So, yeah, and I like it. So there's still a lot of websites to be discovered, and I... so Etsy sounds interesting.
Yeah, it's, and my mom said, I told her about it, and she's like, this is the second time I've heard of this website, Etsy, in 2 days.
Really?
Like, I'd never heard of it before, and she's in England, and someone told her about it. Uh-huh. But yeah, it's just like a creative website that you can sell jewelry and
very cool. So you're not wearing any of them today?
No.
I can't see any? Oh, wow.
No, I forgot, because I'm taking a lot of stuff up to Oakland with me. I put it separate, so I guess I kind of just forgot to wear anything today.
Oh, okay.
Just a headband on my wrist.
So you make bracelets and what, rings too? And
no, just bracelets right
now. Just bracelets. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
And it's bracelets like a lot of people like the skull bracelets and the big crosses.
Right.
It's those kind of bracelets.
Okay.
But it's really pretty colors and pretty beads.
Very cool. Yeah. How did you get into it? You just got the idea or what?
Yeah. I mean, everyone likes these kinds of bracelets.
Mm.
If you look, a lot of people are wearing them. And I just thought they're so easy to make. Mm. So easy to make. And they're not expensive when you buy in bulk.
Mm-hmm.
So I just decided to make them.
I have
a good eye for like what colors match.
Mm-hmm.
I posted a photo on Facebook of my hand. I have like 5 or 6 bracelets on.
Oh.
So you'll be able to see a photo on Facebook of a few of them. But
okay,
they're just
cool.
Pretty. Yeah.
Very cool. Very cool. What else? Did you see the trailer for 50 Shades of Grey? I mean, everybody's talking about it.
I haven't seen it.
And it's like it virtually shows you the whole story pretty much,
oh,
you know?
No.
Yeah.
Well, everyone knows the story anyway.
Right.
So I feel
exactly.
like they need to leave something to the imagination to make people want to go see it.
Right. Unless, you know, I think people just want to see what these people would look like, you know? If they did, and
which I think is going to be an upset.
Yeah.
I don't think people are going to like what they look like.
Well, I don't know. I mean, the guy's pretty stunning looking. The girl, not so much. You know, so I don't know. That's unusual.
But when you read a book, whether they're good looking or not, you have an idea of what the person is in your head. And
right.
when it goes to the big screen and it's not what you think,
that's
you're going to be disappointed.
That's true. That's true. But we never know. You know, maybe it'll be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very vulgar.
Yeah. I know.
I can't see how they're going to make that into a movie.
Yeah. Did you read it?
I haven't read it, no, but
wow.
I know the synopsis. And
yeah. I know.
I'm not a big
reader. 3 books about that? Wow. Yeah. I don't know. We've talked so much about BDSM and fetish and stuff here. But so maybe I'll see it. Maybe I'll be turned on by this stuff. But for now, you know, pain and all that stuff, no, not for me. Man.
Yeah.
No. Doesn't work for me. Okay, and what else did I want to bring up that I forgot? I guess this... did you hear that this teenager in India had, like, what they call teeth, and he had 230 of them in his jaw and his...
I've seen photos, because I have a lot of friends in England that just graduated from dentist school, whatever that's called.
Right.
And I was looking at this one, obviously I was Facebook stalking. I was looking at this one girl and someone posted on this photo on her timeline saying, how does this work? Like, what is this?
Mm.
And she said there are actually a couple of people that have teeth like this. But it's the whole bottom. They didn't show a photo of the top, but the whole bottom was just teeth.
Wow.
Yeah.
Pretty scary stuff,
yeah.
Huh? Wow. Yeah, they didn't show the picture on where I looked, but I was just... I mean, they showed just the boy after the operation and stuff, you know.
Oh, so. He had the operation too.
Yeah, they had an operation to remove all this. I would imagine it interferes with everything that you do.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm sure. You could probably tear apart anything.
Yeah, exactly. And then they're talking about sleep and... sleep deprivation, which I don't really have. I think, well, I don't know. I mean, four hours of sleep, and then I try to make it up with a couple of hours of nap in the afternoon. But
yeah.
I don't think it's very good. But they're saying it may lead to false memories. I know that I forget things, but I don't really have false memories.
Huh.
You know?
So you think something's happened when it really didn't.
Yeah, exactly.
That's disappointing.
I know.
And I've read a lot of different studies recently that have... It's been the strangest things that lead to... I can't even think of an example, but just strange. You wouldn't put two and two together, and I don't think any of them are true.
Yeah. Probably. You're probably right. Who knows, you know?
Yeah. Because how do you, I don't know, how do you prove that?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. We have a doctor in the house. We're going to bring him on in just a second. Maybe he can tell us, you know. And so there's Comic-Con going on in San Diego this week, and everybody's talking about it. And I could have gone because this year, I had an opportunity early on to buy tickets or to get tickets as a journalist and stuff, you know, as media. But I thought, you know, I was there in town last time. I didn't go to the show, but I was just there. And San Diego was like a mess.
Crazy.
Yeah, it was a mess everywhere there. So I decided, you know what? As fun as this is, I don't really handle a lot of people very well.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have the patience to stand in line, to mm-hmm. find parking, to get stuck in traffic jams and things like
right.
that, you know. So sometimes I just pass on it. But it makes me lose out on some cool things, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, what the hell, you know, you go to Comic-Con, there's nothing like it. Might as well wait a little bit in line, right?
Right.
But not me. So I'll just watch it on TV and
Yeah, I know a lot of people that are reporting there and they're all dressed up cool.
Yeah.
But it's all people that love, like all the people that I know that have gone there are kind of gaming.
Fantasy, comic books.
Like that. Yeah.
Right, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I know. So we would kind of feel out of place there probably anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Too nerdy for us.
I went to VidCon last year, which is the YouTube online version of Comic-Con. And I didn't think I was going to fit in there, but it was fun. It was a lot of fun. And it was just a lot of people that are fans of the online based community, like the YouTube singers and the,
right.
It was everything there.
Yeah. Wow. Do you spend a lot of time on YouTube? I mean, you like it, huh?
I don't personally know.
Right.
All of my videos go on YouTube, though.
Yeah.
So I guess I watch myself when I watch playbacks of some of the stuff I've done. But but I don't search on YouTube for
right.
things, no.
I know. I don't discover anybody there, you know.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to bring in our guest who's sitting here patiently. And we have Payman Daniel Poor on the show. Good morning to you.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, good. Thank you for coming in this morning. I know you're probably a very busy person being a plastic surgeon and everything. So what were we asking about doctors? Oh, about sleep and stuff. What do you think about that? I mean,
well, we know that sleep is very necessary. And
right.
it's necessary not only for cognitive growth for children, but also for everything else, for strength and for beauty. I mean, as a plastic surgeon, we tell everyone you should get 8 hours of sleep.
Right.
You know, to make sure that you get enough sleep so you don't have your bags under your eyes, premature wrinkles.
That's true, yeah.
Things like
Do
that.
Do you get it?
I don't get enough
you
sleep.
You don't get it.
Not
hours.
At all.
I know.
No.
I didn't think so. Being a doctor and stuff, you're so busy, right?
Yeah, they train you, and it's like being in the military.
Right.
So you work so hard, and then when you get out in the real world, it's pretty much the same thing.
Right.
Unless you just turn your life into a very condensed version, take as many days off as possible. But I'm young enough where I'm working pretty hard right now.
Wow, very cool. So Payman is from a website. Well, you have a website called StitchMD, and I suppose that's the company that you have, right?
Yeah, that's basically a second kind of offshoot business or service that we've created, my partner and I. We're both plastic and reconstructive surgeons. We work, our group's called Beverly Hills Plastic Surgery Group, but we started another service called StitchMD. StitchMD is a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week emergency hotline for basically anyone if they want to bypass the emergency room and see a plastic surgeon. So, for example, God forbid, you're riding your bike, you're on the beach, you fall,
right.
you get a little cut on your face. Well, what are you going to do?
Right.
Probably either pick up the phone and call or go to the emergency room,
right.
wait for 6 hours,
right.
Get a huge bill, and have the emergency room doctor stitch you up, which, not to take any credit away from them, you know, it's not the same as a plastic surgeon doing it.
Right.
So what we've created is kind of a concierge boutique service where there's a hotline, you call it, plastic surgeons contact it, and then you go to their office, you know, within an hour. Get everything done, and you're out of there.
Really?
Yeah,
wow,
it's a lot easier.
Cool.
It's a lot faster. And I think that at the end of the day, not only is it more convenient for you, but you get better care at the same time.
Yeah, I can imagine. So, but the question is, you know, you get cut and everything. Going to plastic surgeon is not the first thing that comes to your mind, right? So you go to, but so it's good to know it exists before you hurt yourself.
Yeah.
So then you know if something happens.
You know, the reason we came up with this is because we take care of a lot of pediatricians in the area. Mm. And I grew up in Beverly Hills, and I guess it's a different part of the world in the sense that, you know, any cut requires a plastic surgeon.
Yeah.
Whereas other places you'd say no. But so we saw so many that we, and everyone that came to our office, I said, wow, this is so convenient. So we said, why don't we do this all around? So we've started this in the greater Los Angeles area, and we hope to branch out and make it into Southern California, then California, do the West Coast, Midwest, East Coast, and hopefully over time have this service so it can, you know, be all around the country if possible.
Yeah.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah, that's a big ambition right there, you know.
It's a little too much. it's too much for me to bite off personally, but hopefully with everyone else that's on board helping us out, because we have a group of plastic surgeons that are helping us. There's no way that two guys can take care of this.
Really? Yeah. Wow.
So have you been getting, sorry, Sam, have you been getting a lot of people that have been using this?
Yeah, very. There's a nice group of referring physicians that have really helped us out. Schools, camps, after day program, you know, things like, you know, baseball teams and Little League and AYSO, things happen. What are they going to do? They're going to call their pediatrician. Well, the pediatrician will call us immediately.
Right.
So now we're trying to be, cut out the middleman, just call the number directly. Somebody will get dispatched. You meet them at the office. You're in and out, and it's easy.
Right. And this is not just about vanity and stuff. I mean, you have kids here and stuff on the website. And so you service a lot of children that get hurt.
It's everything. It's everything from the, you know, future Olympian that dives into the water and hits their head to the, you know, the weekend warrior that's basically putting up that picture frame and bangs their finger and you know, kind of cuts their thumb. So it could be just about anybody. It could be you or the 2-year old or you, Charlotte. It could be anyone. So it's really.
I've already had plastic surgery when I was 10. I ran into a table and.
Oh my God.
It was terrible. My school called my mom and said, oh, Charlotte's going to need a couple of stitches. My mom gets there. I don't even recognize her. I have a hole in my face.
Wow.
And have to go get and have to have plastic surgery.
Well, they did a wonderful job.
Yeah.
You can't see anything.
I know, huh?
and that was in London?
Yeah. That was nice. In England. Yeah.
Very nice.
So they did a good job.
Very cool. Yeah. So for those of you following us, the website is stitchmd.com. And we're talking to Payman. So you grew up in Beverly Hills.
I did.
So that's a pretty interesting childhood, right? I mean, was it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, I grew up in Beverly Hills. I went to grade school and high school there, and then I left. And I left to go to college and medical school and did two different residencies out of state.
Really? Where did you go to school?
I went to the Chicago Medical School.
Oh, really?
Yes. And then I did two different residencies, one in Miami and one in New York. I think that growing up in L.A., it's very difficult to be very serious and want to actually, if you take a look outside, it's always nice.
Right.
And when you go to Chicago and it's snowing, you sit down and you want to actually study and do your work. So I think it was a really good thing, or else I don't know if I would have gotten through any of it.
That's interesting. How did you pick that school? Is it a pretty good school?
It's a good school.
Is it pretty well-known?
Yeah, it's a well-known school.
Wow.
You know.
Pretty cool.
It's one of those things you apply everywhere and, you know, you interview and you figure out what works for you best.
Right, yeah. Yeah, my son is going through it right now, and he's actually moving to San Francisco next month for college. So that will be interesting. And so you were right after high school you went there?
Right after high school I left, yeah.
Wow,
and I went to Chicago and didn't realize how cold it was.
Yeah. Huh?
Oh, wow. But I got used to it and then did my undergrad in medical school there and then took off and went to Miami, which was like, oh, this is...
Let's see, so you did your undergrad too there as well.
Yes.
And then you went to Miami? You moved to Miami? Why is that? What drew you to
that
Miami?
That was my residency. So I did two different residencies. So as a plastic surgeon, you have to be trained in general surgery as well as plastic surgery. And it takes at least 7 years of training. So
yeah,
it took 7 years of training to do what I do.
That's a great investment in you know, in your future and stuff. You know, I mean, that's a long time.
It's a lot of time. It's yeah. It's while other friends are making a lot of money, right. you're training. But yeah. you know, if you have the passion for it, it's more than worth it. And yeah. You know, if you love what you do, it's all worth it.
You knew right out of high school that this is what you wanted to do.
My grandpa and a couple of my uncles are doctors. But I grew up watching my grandpa and going to his office, and I loved it. But he's a general practitioner. He's an internist. I took it completely to another level. But,
yeah,
I always knew that I wanted to do, you know, something in medicine.
Interesting that it comes at a young age, you know, where people think about that and stuff. Because to me, that would be the last thing I want to do, simply because I don't know. I don't want to be like, get my hands inside people and stuff.
Oh, yeah. For some people, I'll never forget. There's some people that are walking into the operating room and faint right
they
away.
Faint,
medical
right?
Science, like, oh, this is not for me.
So how did you know it was for you? I mean, well, you came from a family of doctors and
sure.
stuff, right?
Yes.
So you had a certain inclination for it.
Absolutely.
And do you have to specialize in something when you go to med school?
No, when you go to medical school, you just learn basic medicine.
Okay.
You learn anatomy and physiology and biochemistry and microbiology, and you learn everything. And as you go through, your first 2 years of medicine are just learning the basics. And then your third year, they basically throw you into what are called clinicals. And the clinicals, you go from obstetrics to gynecology, and you learn how to deliver a baby, to wow. pediatrics, where you deal with children, to even psychiatry, where you're in a psych ward, and they close the door behind you, and you say, deal with these people.
Wow.
And it's great, because it's one of those things where you really get to see what you like. And then you choose from there what you want to go specialize in. And then how far you want to super specialize is just how much more training you want to do.
Yeah. So you became interested in surgery and everything. I mean, you're totally comfortable in the surgery room, right?
Absolutely.
In
yeah.
the operating room.
Yes.
Oh, God.
Thank God. If I wasn't, we'd be in big trouble.
I know. That's what I'm saying. You're very lucky that you could become a doctor, you know, because you have what it takes. I don't think just anybody could do it.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's very true. It's even simple things as when parents bring children into the office and it's a tiny little gash on the forehead. I can't see that. They'll, like, look at you, you know.
Yeah.
And it'll be a prominent businessman or a lawyer or somebody who's very good at what they're, some certain people just can't look at blood, and I understand it's not for everyone.
That's true. Yeah,
not really.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah,
it's not for everyone.
I don't even like having blood taken.
Exactly.
Yeah,
but
I know.
I cry.
I know. I can't even look at a slaughtered chicken. Are you kidding me? So wow. So you started it. How did the plastic surgery come into play for you?
Well, I wanted to be an orthopedic surgeon. I'm a big Laker fan. So as a kid, I'm like, I want to be the team doctor for the LA Lakers. Now one of my good friends is, which is actually very
really?
Ironic.
Wow.
But yeah, he used to sit behind Phil Jackson's during the ring days. I did it, and I did orthopedics, and we did pinning of femurs and things like that. And I said, this isn't for me. So once I started doing a little plastic surgery, I realized I really liked it, because it's a holistic approach to medicine, in the sense that you deal with from the head to toe. And I do all sorts of surgery. So it's not just facelifts and nose jobs and, you know, just beauty surgery or cosmetic surgery, but it's everything. It's reconstructive, where people get into car accidents and break bones in their face, or do major cancer operations where they're missing certain areas and you have to reconstruct and fix defects. Right. And I feel like it's really nice. It's you're really giving something back to people's
lives.
You
really are. You know, I mean, people are I mean, you know, when they fix something inside of you and stuff, you don't really see it. But when it becomes clear to you that, hey, they made me look better or back to normal, I mean, you've contributed something for
That's
sure.
That's great. It's very gratifying. And it's not just, you know, it's interesting, because everyone thinks, when you think about plastic surgery and you think about Beverly Hills,
what I was just about to say. When you think of plastic surgery in LA, it's like, when you say, oh, I've had plastic surgery, oh, you've had a nose job, a facelift, what have you had? So it kind of has a negative, not negative, but a more
very
so
true.
Negative connotation.
It's very stereotyped, and people think of it as Dr. Ray and Dr. 90210 and these types of things. And I know all these people, and they're all good guys, and they just took it to another level.
Right, exactly.
For example, I wouldn't take, but it's not saying that what they do isn't right. My partner and I both, we still enjoy doing reconstructive surgery. Unfortunately, it doesn't pay the bills like it used to, because healthcare has changed, but we're not going to stop doing it. We do our cosmetic stuff. We're kind of like Robin Hoods in the sense that we kind of, you know, we take from one place to kind of take care of the other place. But at the same time, we enjoy doing reconstructive work. So some of many times we'll do it for free. And, you know, we take call at Cedars-Sinai. We teach the residents. And that really is nice, too, because some of the uninsured cases, we'll take some of the new residents through it, teach them how to do it. Gratifying for us. We're also giving back. And we kind of keep, you know, honing our skills and never lose it as time goes on.
Yeah, amazing. So you get people now. So when someone comes to you, I mean, obviously, I don't know how it works, but if you go to the emergency room, they stitch you up and everything. Mm-hmm. Do you guys do the same thing, or do you take like a different approach?
Well, you know, it's different in the sense that the way a plastic surgeon deals with a wound or a cut or a laceration is very different than just anyone. We're trained with special techniques to try to minimize scarring, and I think that's the huge difference. We'll close an incision in multiple layers. We handle the tissue a lot more delicately than other doctors do.
Right.
You know, there's certain intricacies that I think that we're taught over the years that other people aren't, other doctors aren't, especially emergency room physician, because they know a lot more than we do, for example, about somebody who's having a heart attack that they're taking care of. So they don't just specialize in just cuts, whereas that's all we really do.
Yeah, that's true. Wow. So, I mean, how do you, like, reconstruct somebody's, like, skull and stuff? You said bones and, you know, crushed bones and stuff
from
an accident. I mean, wow, you know, it's like a miracle that you're working. I mean, because we don't understand what you do, so it seems like a miracle almost, you know.
You know, I always tell people it's like putting a puzzle together. If you know what it looks like, if you know the anatomy, you know how to fix it. You know how to put the puzzle together. And now with our technology, with titanium plates and bone grafts and things, tiny little screws, we can basically reconstruct everything. You know, I've had gunshots to the face where we'll take a piece of the fibula, which is the bone on our lower leg, and we'll bring it up and reconstruct a jaw with it. Literally make a jaw out of your leg bone. Wow. So these are things.
But then what happens to the leg?
It's fine because you have the other bone. This is the tibia. So that'll take over, which it's amazing. God kind of built us knowing that we might need it for other things.
Wow, that's amazing. You see, that's how humans have evolved, you know?
It's amazing.
It really is amazing because the body is a self-sustaining thing, you know? I mean, it's all the miracles that the body goes through, it amazes me every time, you know, when I start talking or thinking about it and stuff. So I can see the fascination with medicine. And, you know, people wanting to get into that. But you talk to me about going through tissues and plates and stuff. I'm like, I feel I'm going to faint just thinking about it. Wow.
Do you prefer doing reconstruction to plastic, to the regular cosmetic?
To cosmetic, sometimes. Yeah. Actually, I would say probably most of the time. The patients are a lot more they're more appreciative. They're a lot nicer. They treat you like doctors were treated in the past.
Right.
Like when my grandfather was a doctor maybe 20 years ago. You know, the woman that comes in for the cosmetic surgery has this sense of entitlement. And don't get me wrong, there's a lot.
Usually they have money and grew up in Beverly Hills and they can afford it. Yeah, that's
And there's
true.
A lot of hand-holding. And, you know, it's very different. But it does. It feels a lot better when you take care of somebody who's in a really bad accident.
Right.
And you fix it. And, you know, a couple of months later, they come back and they say, wow, I can't believe it. I took care of a lady not too long ago who was in a really bad car accident. Literally half of her ear was almost ripped off. I put it back together and I said, you know, there's a chance it's going to make it. There's a chance it's not. And I kept telling her that because I'm like, God, it might not. She was a very prominent woman in the community in the Beverly Hills area. And she came to the office. I said, oh, my God, it made it. And she was just ecstatic, hugging me and kissing me and flowers. And I mean, every day there's chocolate in the office and she sends over lunch. And, you know, the lady who gets a facelift doesn't do that.
Yeah.
Because I already paid you enough. That's the way it's going to be.
Yeah, exactly. And why didn't you do it right? And why didn't you make this way?
Exactly.
And all that stuff. Wow. So now, you know, I mean, I can see, I don't think I'll ever get any work on my face, but I can see why some people would, you know. I mean, some people get either wrinkled or they look old, like you said, bags under their eyes and things like that. But, you know, I mean, most people obviously don't get plastic surgery, but people in the public eye or people that make a living out of the way they look will go ahead and do this. But My problem with it is many times they end up looking different.
You're 100%
right. I mean, look at Mickey Rourke. I can't even recognize him.
It's a very good example.
Yeah, because he's changed. I mean, you know, it's easy to pick on Joan Rivers or something, you know, but Mickey Rourke, I mean, I wouldn't even know it was him, you know, when he came back, when he made the comeback and stuff. So, but people still do it.
You know, you make a very good point, and I think it's People, the surgeons that are treating them, or the cosmetic surgeons or plastic surgeons, dermatologists, are overdoing it. Mm. And instead of overdoing it, they got everything needs to be toned down a bit. And I trained in New York. Most of my plastic surgery training was very different than Los Angeles. Everything was very subtle. The breast implants weren't massive.
Right.
All, you know, you want to make it so nobody can tell you had any work done. Right. And if you can do that, then as your surgeon, I did my job. You know, people are getting their lips blown up and their faces injected.
Yeah.
And listen, we have amazing, amazing things that we can do that we can halt the progression of aging, slow it down. So as you get older, you don't need surgery. You don't need – and make it look like you had nothing done. But those – some of the people, they get really just kind of overwhelmed with how much they need to do.
Right.
And I guess everyone's got a little bit of a different aesthetic eye, and whoever's taking care of it is doing too much. I agree with you.
That's true. And then when they overdo it and stuff, they end up looking like the Joker. You know, they all have this triangle here, right?
Mm-hmm.
And because I read about this too. And then once you think about it, you realize it's true. You know, they have
on their lips?
No, the ever-smiling face.
Oh.
You know, like, you know, it's like a triangle. You
know? What if somebody comes to you wanting excessive work done, do you
turn them away?
You do
all the time. It's I work in probably the premier building in the area, and in the building there's probably, I don't know, 25 other plastic surgeons. So there are times where if they're coming in for an excessive amount of filler in their face or very large breast implants or things that I just don't think is ethically proper and is not going to cosmetically be acceptable for my eye, and hey,
right,
just me, but I'm going to be the surgeon, I'll just say, listen, I can't give you what you're looking for, and you can go to someone else.
Right.
Because it's like Pablo Picasso doing a painting,
right,
signing underneath the painting, and it's just awful. Well,
right,
everyone that I work on is a direct reflection of what I'm doing.
Right.
So I think it's just not appropriate to do that. But it's a really good question, and I do. There's a lot of people that don't, and you still have to make money to pay the rent, and you have to pay your employees, but there's a right and a wrong way to do it.
Mm-hmm. That's true, yeah.
Do you see Botox as plastic surgery?
Yeah, I do a lot of Botox, and I think Botox is one of the best things that's come out for cosmetic medicine, probably the best thing that's come out for cosmetic medicine.
Really?
Because it slows the progression of aging.
Oh.
And if it's done properly, no one can tell you've done it. No one can tell you've done it. And also, as you look at it, I could take a time-lapse picture of, say, you, and start 10 years ago, treat you with Botox, and now, I guarantee you, if you do it with or without Botox, it makes a huge difference, especially if you can make it so it's subtle and no one can tell.
Right.
Because the wrinkles that you have on your forehead or around your eyes or the frown lines, those won't get worse over time. They'll just stay as they are. And that's really what it is. We don't want wrinkles.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Because I have a friend that texted me the other day. I mean, she's 23, and she said, I think my mom and my aunt get Botox every 6 months. I think I'm going to do it. And I was like, why would you do that? I mean, you're 23 years old. Why would you get Botox?
Yeah.
But hearing that, I mean, if it's a preventative.
It's preventative. It's excellent. It's, you know, there's no set age of when to do it. I've treated a 23-year-old, you know, and I've treated the first-timer 45-year-old. Mm. So it all depends. Some people have much stronger facial musculature, and they make those expressions, and you can see, and you've seen people that frown, and they have the 11s, and you could see them, and wow, why do you always look angry? I take care of teachers that come in, they're like, as soon as you give me the Botox, I go back, and all my students think I'm so nice. And really, they're not trying to be mean, but that's their expression. So there's no set age. At 23, you could do it. Like right now, if I looked at your face, you don't need anything. You don't need Botox. You look like a kid to me.
Yeah.
You know, but at the same time, as you get older, some of those expressions or some of those wrinkles that are forming, you might not want. Just a tiny little bit makes a big difference.
Right.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
Keep that in mind, because it's the forehead wrinkles, mm-hmm, and those wrinkles around crow's feet. My mom has them really bad.
Yeah.
Sorry for saying that, Mom.
No, but it makes a huge difference.
But exactly.
It really does. It can completely change the appearance in a nice way if done properly, where you still have expression, but mm-hmm. yet it's not as strong, so therefore the wrinkles aren't as deep.
Okay. Yeah, and I know, because that's the thing. Some people can't move their face after a facelift.
Now, that's a whole other story.
Yeah.
Whole other story. Want to do everything
expression.
So it's supernatural.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the key to plastic surgery. At least that's the way my partner and I look at it, our practice looks at it. Everything needs to be supernatural.
Right.
Tone it down, make people, you don't want people to be like, oh my God, what'd you do to yourself?
Exactly.
Right. You look like you went to the spa. You look very, very well rested.
Right. And it stands out, you know, like, remember Lisa Rinna when she had her lips? She had it fixed since then, but she had these huge lips, and she's a pretty woman, but all you can pay attention to is her lips.
Right.
You know, and finally she had a reality show, and somebody told her about it finally. I'm sure people have told her, but she finally decided to do something about it, and she claimed there was a doctor that kind of screwed up her operation, you know.
Yep.
Yeah. How did you find a partner that feels the same way and has the same morals and ethics that you do? Because I feel like a lot of people in Los Angeles area maybe wouldn't turn away patients that wanted the extravagant work done because they wanted the money.
You know, it's a really, really good question, and people call us the real life Nip Tuck, even though we're not anywhere near the ethical morals that they have. John and I met when we were interviewing, and we happened to train together in New York. And we were roommates. He's a very intelligent, very talented guy. I wish he was here today. Unfortunately, he had to operate this morning on somebody, and he missed out. So I have to step in by myself. When we were training together, we really had the same kind of ethical, moral beliefs towards everything, life and medicine. And we work together. I mean, we really are a duo in the sense that we're in the operating room together many, many times, tackle very large cases together. And we have the kind of same outlook on how to go about things. That's why I just got really lucky.
Right.
He's from Wisconsin, moved out here because of me, so we could start a private practice. So it's an interesting story, yes.
And you guess what? You met at school or something?
We met when we were training, when we were about to go into plastic surgery training, yes.
Oh, okay. Sounds good. Yeah, because otherwise, how do you meet anybody from Wisconsin, right?
That's funny.
I think they tend to stay at home, no? what a generalization. I didn't realize this until recently when someone told me, but when you do like a facelift, you actually take the skin off and you put it back on?
No? You know, things have changed. We try to not really mess with the skin as much, but rather fix the compartments underneath and raise them all up in a vertical vector, and not pull it back like the wind-blown appearance.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, things have changed a little bit. All you do is basically just open it up. We do what's called a short scar facelift. It's a tiny little scar. Little bit of skin is taken. Everything else is just resuspended up because, unfortunately, we're on Earth and gravity takes over.
Right, so you have to fight gravity and push it back.
Exactly. So it's not a whole lot of skin redraping, but it is just the underlying tissue.
Right. Now, I know that, we talk about things that you want to make it subtle and everything. I find, like, with breast augmentation and stuff, there's a lot of, like, bad jobs, right? I mean, there's a lot of bad jobs out there.
Sure.
I mean, sometimes you see something that looks so real and you can't believe it's not real. But for the most part, I don't know, from what I've seen, they don't look very good. They don't hold up very well.
And it's the same thing. It's basically what I preach in my practice. I do a lot of breasts in the practice, and I say, the larger you go, the higher the rate of complications.
Yeah.
The larger you go, the higher the rate of having problems as we go on. Just try to look natural, as go as small as possible. That's the first thing. Second thing is, there's a lot of people that are doing these operations that are not certified to do them. They shouldn't be doing them. And unfortunately, in this country, a doctor can basically do anything he wants, and doesn't have to be a plastic surgeon to do it. So I do recommend that if anyone's going to go do it, make sure you're going to a plastic surgeon and the right type of person instead of just somebody who says that they're
and someone who's got experience in that also.
Absolutely. It's easy to see. You can look, I've got hundreds of pictures before and afters, and you can look at them, and you can call the patients. And we give patients phone numbers to people. And if you really want to talk to them, you can call them and say, how's your experience? How was everything? Are these guys really, like what they're saying that they are or not. So
right,
yeah.
It's just that sometimes, or most of the time, they seem to me like, you know, after years, they started like bend out of shape and stuff, you know. Do people come back and redo
it? Is that your
it?
Personal opinion?
Yeah, it is. Well, I happen to start working with porn stars a lot, so I see a lot of breasts lately.
I'm just messing with
you. Yeah, no, a lot of boob jobs, man, that are not very good.
Yeah, it's true. It's because it's become a factory. It's become, people don't realize that you're doing surgery on somebody, and you need to take your time, and you need to give them your time and do the best as you can. Instead of, let's line up 10 people to do breast augmentations for today, make them as fast as we can and get them in and out. So,
yeah, exactly.
I think that's what's right. going on.
Yeah, and that's and it looks like that, too. You know? I mean, yeah, it's terrible.
I was in Vegas last weekend.
Yeah. Now, I understand that, you know, it's I totally forgot. What did I want to say?
It's okay.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. But I remember with the breast augmentation, do people have to replace it usually? I mean,
you know, I tell everyone the same thing. Manufacturer says 10 years. I've seen implants that are in for 25.
Really?
30, and they do fine.
Really?
You know, you take care of yourself, and they're done properly, and there's no complications. They can stay in there. You know, I shouldn't be saying this on the radio, but they can.
Right.
I tell all my patients there is a very high likelihood that you will need them removed and replaced. Mm. It's a very simple operation. It's not any downtime. You just take out the old implants and put new ones in. It's kind of like buying a new car.
Right.
So, yes, would I tell you that if you came into the office, I would probably tell everybody, listen, there's going to probably be another operation. It's not a big deal. It's just to take out the old ones and put new ones in.
Right. And, I mean, do you see a lot of people where you turn them back for breast surgery and stuff like that? I mean, some women really shouldn't get them, right?
All the time.
Yeah.
I mean, when I tell you all the time, because people will give them, there's differing opinions. You know, you can have somebody that comes in and says, I want to have this done. Five different plastic surgeons might tell them five different things. Mm. I'm very conservative, so is my partner. We want to do less is more. We don't want to I really don't want to do anything that's going to lead to complications whatsoever. So, yes, I mean, we turn people away on a regular basis.
Right.
Why do you think people want cosmetic plastic surgery? Do you think it's an insecurity or a... just something that is born in LA?
You know, it's a really good question, and it's a combination of many things. You can say, obviously, what you said is very smart. It's an insecurity. Some people are insecure. They want to do something to make themselves feel better. Some people, for example, for breast surgery, they get in a bathing suit. They don't like the way they look. They don't like the way a dress looks. And they say, okay, I just want a little bit more so I can fill out a dress, not let me be obnoxious.
Right.
You know, there's other people who have body dysmorphia. They look in the mirror and they think they're fat, for example. They want liposuction. There's nothing to suck out. There are multiple different reasons. There's some that just age and they want to look better. Some, I think, are there's pathologic reasons. And there's some just, you know, I just want to look good. I have the means to do it. Why not? Why not? I've had 3 children. My tummy's sagging. Why not get a tummy tuck? Uh-huh. I've gone through childbearing age and my breasts are sagging. This is what we do probably most in our practice, which are mommy makeovers.
Why don't
I go in? I've given my husband the 3 kids and I've provided that. I mean, now I want to feel good for myself. So when I go to the south of France or the beach with my kids, I look good. I could put that 2-piece bathing suit. And that's something really common, and I think that's okay. It's the ones that are taking it to a whole nother level.
Right.
Right. Well, they don't really need it and stuff. It's just
that's
for
exactly
vanity
it.
And things like that. Yeah. And, yeah, I mean, I can totally see it. And plus, you ask why. Well, when you look in the mirror right now, you can't see any reason. Wait 30 years, and you won't even have to ask.
There's a lot of people
know.
My age that do.
Uh-huh. Absolutely, you're right. And I think what you said is right. It's a lot of it has to do with insecurity. You know, you probably get a lot of attention on a regular basis outside of here. You know, whether it be your personality or the way you look, you have probably a very, you know, all of it put together. A lot of people don't. And sometimes they think, how am I going to get that attention? So they'll go and get very big breasts. Well, obviously, they're going to get attention. Yeah. Do I think it's the right thing to do? No, but I think that some people have that. Or they're very heavy, and they do what's called gastric bypass. They lose 200 pounds, and then they have all this extra skin. They come to our office, and they're like, I lost all this skin. Now I'm dieting and exercising. What can you do with this? I'm like, okay, let's give you your life back. Like, that is a whole different story than the other. So. Mm-hmm.
That's completely true. And I can see in many ways how you work miracles for people. You know,
because, and those are so gratifying.
Because I know that when you have like a saggy belly or whatever, it could probably totally ruin your self-esteem, you know, because you feel you're like different from other people. You know, it's like, why do I need this? And you know, I mean, so there's a lot of different reasons to have plastic surgery. I'm sure you've worked with athletes too.
Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, yesterday, I'll give you a perfect example. Yesterday, I took care of a woman who is in her mid-50s, came in and has grown children. And lost her husband a couple of years ago. And she looked at me and she goes, I need to look good again because I've got, the way we're going with life expectancy, I've got another 30, 35 years of living real life. I want you to give me a tummy tuck because I don't feel comfortable being with another man. It's been 5 years. I'm ready. Well, you know, that's something else. You want to kind of make that change for them. They've been in mourning and long enough, and now they want to get out there and play the field. So, in a sense, that's a good reason to do it.
Right.
Although, you know, who am I to tell you what's good or wrong?
No, but, I mean, you should know because you've been seeing people, you know, going through this stuff and how it affects them and stuff.
Absolutely.
So I think you're qualified to say if you think it's
that changes lives. It really does. It really, it psychologically. As much as physically, you know, and that's half of what we do in life. We do things, you go and work out because physically it helps you, but it helps you up here. I mean, it's really a psychological thing. Everything we do is based on our mind more than anything else.
Right.
That's true. Yeah. Wow. So, I remember my first wife after a couple of pregnancies, I had a tummy tuck and they gave her the pictures and it looked like a slab of beef or something. And I'm going, oh my God, man, you know, how people deal with that. So that's why I'm very grateful to doctors that there's somebody that can actually do this because if everybody was like me, everybody would be dying off, you know.
No one would look good.
Exactly. So, so kudos to you for that. So for those of you listening, the website is stitchmd.com. And can people talk to you when they call also directly to you?
Absolutely. You know, StitchMD is, again, a complete different business than my primary practice, which is Beverly Hills Plastic Surgery Group.
Right.
StitchMD is this 24-hour hotline, which really is one of these things that when anyone hears about it, it's like, wow, I can't believe it. You think I don't have to go to the emergency room, and I'm going to actually get really like high quality care, and then I come back to your office, and you take the stitches out, and then you give me scar care, and you give me a scar cream, and if it doesn't heal well, then you'll do something else to fix it. And I'm like, yeah, we're going to make it. So especially if it's, you know, dog bites of the face, things that are just so mutilating that you're like, you know, emergency room sometimes is like, oh my God, let me call the plastic surgeon. Then there's a 4-hour wait for the plastic surgeon. And then he gets there and there's a big bill. And this is a lot easier, straight to the office in your area. You're taken care of right away and you follow up with that doctor. And all the doctors that are on call for StitchMD are plastic surgeons.
Sounds good. Now, so if people want to contact you for surgery, outside the StitchMD thing, can they reach you? How can they reach you? Do you have a separate website?
Sure. The other website is BeverlyHillsPlasticSurgeryGroup.com or BHPSG.com.
Okay.
And the phone number is 310-275-6600. We're located right in Beverly Hills. It's me and my partner. His name's John Lakey. You know, very nice, friendly atmosphere, great staff. Simple as that. You should come by and say hi, both of you.
Not
that either one of you need anything.
Right.
You should come and say hi anyway.
Yeah, it's okay. She doesn't need anything. I could use some. But
maybe Botox.
Yeah.
Not that you need Botox.
No,
but that
I really
sounds
don't.
Like the simplest.
Yeah. No, it's not. It's not these things. I mean, there's other things, you know. It's like your belly and, you know,
there's a lot of really cool new things. I mean, it's interesting because we really bring the most innovative, newest technology to our office. And I don't know if you've heard of cool sculpting, where we freeze fat. you've probably seen the billboards all over town that shows don't lose the love or the love handles. They're really? Losing the love. Anyways, there's a new technology where you just come to the office, you're sitting there, and we take an area. Let's say you don't like your love handles, and you look like you're in great shape, but I'm just going to make an example. Say you don't like your love handles. Well, you don't want to have liposuction. That's an operation, you know. Right. And as a man, most people are like, oh, no, I don't do liposuction. You come in the office, an hour each area. Basically, it's a applicator that goes on there. It freezes the area, and you leave. Well, 3 weeks to 3 months later, you see the results. If I show you some of the before and afters, I didn't believe it until I bought the machine. It's unbelievable.
Really?
People
love it.
What happens? It just
goes away? So what it does is the freezing point of fat is different than the surrounding structures. So it freezes 20 to 25% of the fat in that area. And over the next 3 months, your body, your immune system basically takes it away. So either through just regular waste.
Elimination and stuff, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And it really is. So there's a lot of really cool new ways to do things where you don't necessarily need to have surgery. You can take care of that tiny little pooch that's hanging there for a woman that they just can't get rid of right. with just this type of technology.
So that's a really easy way to lose weight.
It's not going to be as much losing weight. It's more getting rid of problem areas. You know, you work out, you exercise, you can't get rid of anything.
I know.
Like, what is she talking about?
I know. We all look for easy ways to lose weight, you know.
Absolutely.
And it's like, but it shows you that everybody feels they're overweight. You know, I mean, even models, you know. I mean,
oh, yeah.
What are you going to do, you know?
Very true.
All right. Well, Payman Daniel Poor, thank you so much for joining
us.
It's
been a pleasure. Thank you for having
everybody
me.
Check it out, StitchMD and also Beverly Hills Plastic Surgery. Group. You can just Google that and come up with the site. And all the best to you.
Thank you
know?
Very much.
I hope I don't need your services, but I may. You know, so
I don't think
I'll,
you're going to need my services
yeah,
for
well,
a while.
We don't know, yeah.
All you have to do is just put some sunscreen on when you go to the beach.
Really?
And it's fine.
Oh, okay. I'm not good at that. Sounds
that's cool. easy.
Got to get better at that.
Yeah.
I'll have to send you both some.
Okay, well, thanks again. All
my
the
pleasure.
Best to you.
Thank you.
Charlotte, that's it for this week.
See you on Monday. Have a great weekend.
See you Monday.
For the best in morning radio, tune in to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte. Only on LA Talk Radio.